This week on Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Joe Biden makes his first trip to Africa, stopping first in Cape Verde, followed by Angola.
The United States is all in on Africa.
The focus of his visit is the U.S.-financed Lobito Corridor, a 1,300-kilometer railway that runs from Zambia through the Democratic Republic of Congo to the Angolan port of Lobito. What does the Biden visit to Angola mean for Africa? How will it benefit Africa and the United States? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. U.S. President Joe Biden mentioned during his trip to Angola that the end of his administration marks the beginning of a new relationship between the U.S. and the African continent. His administration alone has invested over $3 billion in Angola thus far. The U.S. president, during his remarks at a meeting with Angola's President João Lourenço, emphasized that the future of the world is here in Africa and Angola. For more insight into President Biden's historic visit to Angola, let's go to our VOA reporter in Luanda, Myra de Lesalette. Myra, first, just update us on where the president is at the moment and some of the places he has been.
Hello, everyone. I'm talking to you from Luanda, the capital, where President Joe Biden arrived on Monday evening. He had apparently, through his words, a great time here in Luanda, and he this morning in Luanda to Lobito, where the famous corridor of Lobito is. Today in Lobito, President Biden is now holding a summit with Angola, the DRC, and Zambia, and how these three countries can cooperate in trade and all these investments that the U.S. is doing here in Angola in the Lobito Corridor. He announced also this week, and at the summit, he has been making some announcements. He's still holding the summit, but this week he said that $600 million will be for projects like solar, minerals, and telecommunications along the first phase of the project of the Lobito Corridor. In Lobito, he also will visit, after the summit ends, he'll visit the silo where there is first transformation of a seed by the Lobito port, which is the main port in Angola that involves all the trades here in the country. We have also, if you have a chance to look, we have also the Luanda port here, but the Lobito Corridor since decades has been a key port in the country. So it makes sense that President Biden visit this port and see how the investment that the U.S. is making is going to probably look like and where the first phase is being implemented by now. Like you were asking, what did he do since he arrived in Angola? On Tuesday, he had a presidential ceremony at Presidential Palace here with President João Lourenço, and they held a meeting, bilateral meeting, where they talked about trade, investment, infrastructure, also about the cooperation between the U.S. and Angola in terms of defense, and where President Biden said that he supports the democracy in Angola and also praised the work that Mr. João Lourenço is doing, not only to guarantee democracy here in the country, but also as a mediator in Africa. President Biden on that, on the democracy part, was a bit criticized by the opposition members here, the opposition party leaders here. I spoke to some that were yesterday at the event at the National Museum of Slavery, also here in Luanda, where President Biden made some very important remarks. But those who were there were a bit disappointed that Mr. Biden didn't meet with them and didn't actually make this trip more political, quoting their words. They said that this was a more trade economic visit and not a political visit that didn't involve the opposition members of Angola.
Well, Myra, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you very much for reporting a little bit of challenge of the audio there. Yeah, that's Myra D. Lesalette reporting live from Luanda, the capital of Angola. Now, here in Washington, there are many who think that the Biden administration did not do enough for Africa and that this trip came too late. My next guest believes that this trip matters, and he is here in studio with me. Whitney Schneidman is former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs and a non-resident senior fellow, Africa Growth Initiative in the Global Economy and Development Program at the Brookings Institution. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Vincent.
Now, yes, I want to go back to exactly that. Some say, well, how long did it take? The president had promised actually to go to Africa way back in 2022. It has taken like all that long to go there, and they see this almost like just a token. How would you, why do you say it's not too little, it's not too late?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's never enough. There should be more presidential trips to Africa. But I think this trip is really quite important because of the two reasons, Libido Corridor Initiative and the U.S.-Angolan relationship. The Libido Corridor Initiative is a very unique undertaking by the United States. One, it's a real partnership initiative. It's a partnership with the governments of Angola, the DRC, Zambia. It's a partnership with the European Union, with the African Development Bank, the African Finance Corporation. It's not just the U.S. And I think that kind of approach is new for the United States. And I think it ensures the potential impact of this project.
Yes. And, you know, we have it right up on the screen, Lobito Corridor, quite a long stretch connecting
Correct.
Several countries, Angola, Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia and all. One may wonder, what is in it for the United States here?
What is in it? I mean, what is in a partnership? I mean, obviously, the U.S. has interests here. The U.S. has interests in critical minerals. The U.S. has interests in furthering democracy. The U.S. has interests in stability. The U.S. has interests in economic growth. The U.S. has interests in deepening cultural ties with the region, with Angola. So the U.S. has a number of interests. But I think Angola has a number of interests as well. They want to diversify their relationship. You know, they spent the last 20 years borrowing $45 billion from China. And I think President Lourenco really wants to diversify and attract more U.S. investment. And in fact, we've already seen some of that come. Over the last year or so, U.S. companies have committed to the construction of 180 rural bridges that will help crops get to market, some 500 megawatts of solar power, digital connectivity. These are the kinds of things that I think President Lourenco is very interested to get out of the relationship.
And we know that Angola has had this relationship with China and Russia. China is has been very aggressive with the Silk Road all across the world. You mentioned a few things that sometimes people may not realize, that there are other levels of U.S. investment in African countries that are not necessarily these big mega projects like the Lobito Corridor. So how is that significant in terms of countering the influence of China on the continent?
Well, I think, you know, if you take the Libido Corridor, that's a 1,300-kilometer rail line. And along that rail line are many communities and towns. And that provides a backbone for doing the kind of projects that I mentioned that will impact on increased agricultural productivity, increased access to education, increased digital connectivity. And I think this is what the United States wants to see in the continent. I think this is what many folks on the continent want to see as well. So I think the U.S. is well positioned to be a strong partner.
Yes. Going back in history, you know, U.S. has had a very interesting relationship with Angola. Some, especially those who are much younger, may not remember that there was a real serious kind of a contest in that region during the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union then.
Yes, in many respects, you use the word interesting. In many respects, Angola was ground zero in the Cold War, and it was really the site of one of the most lethal conflicts of the Cold War. The U.S. was partnered with the apartheid government in South Africa to try to overthrow the MPLA government for the first 10, 15 years of its existence. Angola became independent in 1975. The U.S. did not recognize the government of Angola until 1993. So, you know, a lot of work has gone into overcoming that relationship. That's one factor. The other factor is that the U.S. was primarily reliant on Angola as a source of oil. And so the U.S. presence there was mainly our oil companies. Chevron is celebrating 70 years of work in the Angolan economy. So we've had to overcome a lot to get to this point. And I think a lot of credit goes to President Lourenco, actually, who really sort of understood the importance and during the Trump administration came to Washington and signed a strategic accord with Defense Secretary Mattis when he was defense minister. And then he became president. So he's worked at not only diversifying the relationship with the U.S., but Angola's joined Francophonie, the French-speaking countries, expressed an interest to join the Commonwealth. And really, at 50-year mark of independence, which will be next year, is really, I think, positioned to be a leader on the continent.
Yes. And in fact, I think since the Lourenco came to Washington as a foreign affairs minister, there have been like two foreign affairs secretaries of state who have gone to Angola since then. One may want to, at this time, ask, do you think this relationship could be in any way impacted by the transition from Biden to the president-elect Donald Trump?
Well, we don't know. But, you know, in U.S.-African relations, there's been a history of bipartisanship since the year 2000 when the African Growth and Opportunity was passed, African Growth and Opportunity Act was passed through Congress. And that sort of put together Republicans and Democrats who said, the U.S. has interests in Africa worth investing in. So this bipartisan relationship not only gave us a GOA, but it gave us PEPFAR, and it gave us the BUILD Act, which President Trump signed, and Prosper Africa, which was a creation of President Trump, the Trump administration. So I'm hopeful that there will be an ongoing relationship in the Trump administration that will support the implementation of the Libido Corridor Initiative.
Now, there's just one little thing. Some wanted the president also to kind of acknowledge the dark history of slavery. At this moment, do you think people would be satisfied with any of his engagements there, especially in relation to that, besides the business side?
Well, I think he did acknowledge that. Yesterday he gave a speech at the Slave Museum, and this is part of America's history. This is part of America's relationship with Africa, and we have to be fully cognizant of it. And I think President Trump really did that, and I think the Angolan government is appreciative for that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for being with us here. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on this, the historic trip of President Biden to Angola. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, told only part of the story, we lose trust in moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
He'll improve our lives because we are suffering a lot. We're struggling. Our president is not paying attention to his people. School is very expensive. We are not able to pay the kids' tuition. It's harder now. We never suffered like this before.
I hope to see a stronger relationship between Angola and the U.S. I hope they deal with the most important issues for the people, like poverty and more investment in education. We don't want them to just talk, but to be more focused on bringing good benefits to the Angolan people, because we all have great expectations.
He can do anything. First, he needs to lower our prices, and then he needs to help us produce things. With more production in the country, the prices will lower. That's all we want.
We ask for serious help from America. They have to see the truth here and not just stay in the capital, Luanda, riding only the roads that have been fixed by the Angolan government for Joe Biden's visit. If they go deeper in the slums, what they will see will make them very sad, because there are people starving to death, not only in Luanda, but in all Angolan provinces.
First of all, I want him to come to help us create change in our country. Our country is in really bad shape. A lot of things have to change. Our government, I don't know how to explain it. We never lived like this. The price of food and education was never so high. We look at our country's health. It's really, really bad. We hope America's president can help us with all of this.
Welcome back. You're with Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from headquarters in Washington. We are discussing President Biden's trip to Angola and the U.S. investment in developing the Lobito Corridor that connects the southern regions of the Democratic Republic of Congo, northwestern Zambia, and Angola to regional and global trade markets via the port of Lobito. For insight into what Angolans think about the Biden's visit and the Lobito Corridor, I'm joined by Marisa Lorenzo, a Johannesburg-based political analyst, and from Luanda, Angola, I'm joined by Bartolomeo Milton, a lawyer and president of the Pro Bono Angola Association. Lady and gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Now, if I may start with you, Marisa, how has the Biden trip resonated with people not only in Angola but in the region, including South Africa?
Sure. So I think there is a little bit of skepticism, because at the beginning of his administration, you know, Biden did promise to prioritize Africa. He promised to be different from Donald Trump. And this visit is coming right at the end of his term when he's effectively a lame duck president. So I think there's some skepticism around why is this trip happening? Why is it happening now? And what can actually be done? But I think it's also something that's being watched very closely because, as we all know, this visit is historic. Angola has never been visited before by a sitting U.S. president. And that's certainly, I think, something that people who are looking towards the Lourenco administration to improve Angola are quite pleased to see it happening and to see this come to fruition.
Yes. And Bartolomeo, in Luanda, how has been the reaction? We know this is a mega project, Lobito, but besides that, beyond that, what are the people saying?
Expectations are very high from the Angolan society. Of course, as the my predecessor said, there's a bit of skepticism considering the time the visit is taking place. It's happening almost at the end of his term. And people are kind of, wow, what will happen next? We know that the power has shifted to Donald Trump. We understand that Donald Trump didn't do too much for Africa and in Angola in particular in his first term. And so, with Biden's visit to Angola, people are eager to learn, in fact, what is the U.S. policy toward Africa and Angola in particular. We are aware that there is a project, which is the Lobito Corridor, which is most minerals from Africa to the U.S. and Europe. But then we are also kind of expecting to see more about the relationship between the two countries in other areas of cooperation, not only in terms of taking minerals from Zambia, DRC, or any other place in Angola to the U.S. or in Europe. And apart from that, as you could see in previous interviews, there's a lot of issues in Angola, challenges with the development, social infrastructures, schooling, and people want to see if the U.S. can play a great role in helping Angola address the educational issues, like in the early stages of school. Like, we have kids not attending schools, over 4 million, not attending schools right now. We have issues like anger, hunger everywhere, you know, human rights issues as well. So all these issues are now a great concern for the people. They want to see America also paying attention to these specific issues, not only on minerals and so on.
Yeah. Now, Marissa, you know, there's always that question. How deeply should, say, America be involved in some of the issues that are very domestic? I mean, there is the leadership at the local level. Here's the U.S. investing over $550 million to an infrastructure that will help develop the country, will help bring in income that should be plowed into, you know, the education sector, perhaps the energy sector and other areas of development. Shouldn't that be enough, that the U.S. is actually partnering with others to build this infrastructure that should be of great benefit to the country and other countries in the region?
I think it's really tricky, you know, because, for example, the U.S. before has said, you know, that Angola has done a really good job with democracy and it's an example in the sub-region. And we know that that's not the case. We know that Angola has serious human rights issue. It's not a proper democracy. But on the other hand, I don't think that we can really expect much more from the U.S. At the end of the day, the U.S. is coming into Angola for its own interest, which is how every state in the world operates. And it's not just coming into Angola, it's also, you know, using Angola as a way to access minerals in the DRC, but also to project power into Central Africa, where, as we know, there's major issues ongoing between the DRC and Rwanda. I think that we also have to say, we also need to look at the Angolan government, that if the Lobito Corridor takes off to the planned extent, which, you know, is still remains to be seen. How is the government going to use the revenue that it gets from these minerals exports that are coming from Angola itself, but mainly from the DRC, potentially also from Zambia, although there's a lot of work to be done there? How is it going to use that wealth? Because, as you know, Angola has massive oil wealth, and that has not translated into better socioeconomic conditions. And I think that's what we need to be watching much more closely. What is the Angolan government actually going to do? How will this be different from the past?
Yes. And Bartolomeo, hearing what Marissa has said, you know, it behoves on the government of Angola to utilize whatever is accrued from its wealth for the benefit of the people. So who, in your assessment, should be holding the government accountable? What role can the U.S. and Western nations play to ensure that the people of Angola are happy, not only with the kind of investment that the West is making in that region, but also that their government is delivering?
Well, Marissa just raised a lot of issues, but I'd like just to address some of them. First, it's not about the U.S. Coming to Angola and, defining the agenda. I think the Angolan government and the Angolans must have an agenda in terms of what they expect to get from the U.S. I know the U.S. is the leading country in terms of technology and many, many other issues. Yesterday, President Biden has highlighted his interest, his vision of a better future where Angolans and Americans can exchange in a lot of areas, like in sports, agriculture, education, and so many other areas of cooperation. And Angola has to be ready to that. And I mean, the Angolan government, yes, has a bad, history of managing public funds in terms of revenues from oil resources and so on.
I want to ask a quick question. Marissa, how can the regional powers, the governments in that region, leverage the wealth they have in order to get maximum benefit from this kind of investment?
It really comes down to how the money is used from the revenue from critical minerals export. If that can go into infrastructure development, for example, into that kind of capital spending, that has a knock-on impact, a very positive impact on economic growth. And then, of course, if there is development around the towns that the railway passes through, this also gives people greater access to markets to sell their goods.
Well, thank you very much. Really very well put. We have to leave it here. Thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time, Marissa Lorenzo and Bartolomeo Milton. Thanks to our affiliate stations also for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.